change. Change. People change. Seasons change. Days change. Our age change. Our bodies change. I can be a witness to that one. Our health changes, our attitudes and behaviors, our emotions change throughout the day from time to time. Circumstances, if you hold on long enough, they will change. They all change and or will change if you live long enough. The good news is that God is making all things new and beautiful in His time and according to His will. Revelation 21 and 5 says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold," means take a good look, "I make all things new." I make all things new. That means that something has to change if God is going to make something new. Then he says, "I want you to know that these words are true and faithful." The good news is that God desires to change you and to make you new. He wants to change you to get all the honor and the glory and the praise out of your life and even in the church. He wants to complete the work that He started in you, and He wants to complete that work and to transfer that body of work to your children and your children's children, that they too might be, you say the word with me, changed. The good news is that in a shaky and unstable world, we can have confidence in God that He won't change. We need an uncaused cause to cause everything to exist. Nothing caused God to exist. He existed because He's God. And we need a stable foundation to build on. God is the foundation for all of the world. The Bible tells us that He laid the foundations of the deep. He's the same God, which means we can have absolute confidence and dependence on Him. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, "Jesus the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forevermore." So how do we handle change if we cannot avoid it? How do we handle change if we cannot avoid change? That is our thought for today. Let us pray. Father, we come to You right now in the name of Jesus. How to handle change? Turn with me to Psalm 62. First, I would like to state that we handle change expectantly. We handle change expectantly. Look at what the psalm writer says in verse number 5. He says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." Y'all got that? He says, "My soul." And when we talk about the soul, I always want to explain that we're talking about our emotions. We're talking about our mind. Con meaning two and science meaning knowledge. And you put that together, we have the ability to know and to understand the will of God and the purpose of God. And as He reveals it to us, He says, "My soul, my spirit on the inside, my will, my emotions." Right now, expect from God. Sometimes we have to surrender our will to the expectation of God. Sometimes we want what we want. Am I right about it? We want it our way. We like Burger King sometimes. You know, you want to have it your way. But look what David said. He says, "My soul." I don't know about my mother, my father. I don't know about my children. He says, "But me." I like how Joshua said, "As for me and my house, my expectation is from the Lord." He says, "My soul, waiteth thou." And then here's a key word here, only. Sometimes we put our hope and our trust in people, places, and things only to find ourselves disappointed because we looked after it according to our will and not God's will. And so he says, I want you to do something. I want you to wait or to handle change expectantly. Wait thou only upon God. We have to put our hope and dependence on the Lord because we're living in shifty and shaky times and everything seems to be unstable. But God, he is absolute. He is firm. He is fixed. He knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. Nothing shakes him or moves him. Nothing calls him to be confused and to begin to scratch his head. Nothing catches him by surprise. Why? Because he is omniscient. That means that he knows everything at all times about everybody and everything. He's omnipotent. That means that he has all power over everybody and everything. He's omnipresent, which means that he can be everywhere at the same time with everyone and everything. And he can be present as Emmanuel, God with us. And so he says, my expectation is only upon him because I have an omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God who can do all things, who can step into my situation and my circumstances, somebody that I can look unto the hills from which cometh my help. And I'll say my expectation, my help cometh from the Lord. He says, my soul, wait if thou only upon God. My expectation is from him. You can depend on God. The illustration of a man that was drowning one day. A man was stuck on a rooftop of a great flood, in a great flood. He was praying to God to help him. And soon a man came by in a rowboat. The man in the rowboat came by and he said, hey, jump on in and I can save you. The man said, no, it's okay. I'm praying and I'm believing God. And I'm waiting on God to save me. Well, that rowboat went on. The next time, the Lord sent a motorboat. And the guy with the motorboat said, jump on, I can save you. The stranded man said, oh, I'm okay. I have faith in God, and I'm waiting on God to save me. So the motorboat went on. Then the Lord sent the helicopter. The helicopter flew in and landed on the rooftop. And the rescuer reached out his arm and said, grab my hand and I can lift you up and pull you in and save you. The man said, oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm waiting on God. I have faith and I believe in him. I'm going to wait. Thank you, but no thank you. And so the helicopter left. And so the water began to rise. And it rose upon the roof and it covered the roof and eventually the man drowned and died. And so he gets to heaven, he stands before God in heaven and he's upset. It says, God, I want to state my case to you. I was stranded on the rooftop and I believed and I trusted in you. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, but you let me down. You failed me, God. The Lord said, well, I sent the rowboat, and then I sent a motorboat. And then after the motorboat, I sent the helicopter. What more do you want? And sometimes we get like that. What else are you expecting? What else are you expecting? David says, he says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. But sometimes God uses ordinary things to do extraordinary rescues. He uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And sometimes God may come to you by way of a person, by way of a radio announcement, by way of just a still small voice in your head saying, it's going to be all right. He says we handle change expectantly. And then it goes on in verse number 6 says, he only, again, there's that word again. Notice what it says. He only is my rock. And so the man was expecting from God, but he failed to realize how God weaves and intervenes, and he intervenes into our daily lives. Yes, God could have showed up and he could have sent an angel right then and there. Boom. It would have been done. God could have came down himself. Jesus could have stood on the rooftop with him and hugged him on the side and just took him, raptured him right on up. He could have sent down a chariot just like he did with the prophet Elijah. Swing low, sweet chariot, and took the man straight on up and saved him. And sometimes we miss the small details, the small things that God is doing, because we expect in our own human nature, we expect not according to his will, but according to our own will. David says, my expectation is from him alone. I want to expect what God expects. I want to accept what God gives. I want to receive what God gives. My expectation is from him. Lord, if I get a blessing, Lord, let the blessing come from you so that I know that you did it and not man. He says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He only is my rock. I remember one time my wife and I, we were going through, and I believe I've used that illustration here before a long time ago, but one day I was sitting down and my wife and we had got down to one can of beans in the house. You ever been there? I said one can of beans. My wife had got angry with God. And I'm confused and I'm scratching my head, wondering what in the world is going on. It was my first year in ministry, and we fell into a financial crisis. Oh, we didn't want to bring the shame upon New Berean Baptist Church because we had financial troubles. Can I tell it? And so I remember one day, pastor had came over to the house. Sat down, we talked to him about it. Matter of fact, I needed to pay my car note. And we had on the back of the car, on the license plate, we had a 1993 Isuzu Rodeo. Anybody remember that car we used to have? We had on the back of the license plate, we prayed. I needed to pay my car note though. My wife was working. She was pregnant with Darius at the time, and she had witnessed to her boss, and her boss fired her for sharing the gospel with her. We had to go to the unemployment office. We had to state our case. She eventually won that case, but it threw us in financial crisis because I was working at one of these schools. I didn't make that much money. I might have been like, what, $12 an hour, maybe 10. It wasn't a whole lot of money. But we lost our car. Pastor was there, gave us the money. He had drove off, and guess what? I'm getting ready to go pay my car note. Soon as I walk out the door, the man comes with the hook, with the hitch on it. Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? The repo man came and hooked up my car. I said, excuse me, sir, I'm getting ready to go make the payment right now. You don't have to do that. I'm sorry, sir, I can't help you. I'm just here to pick up the car, blah, blah, blah. You know how they do. Hopefully you don't know how they do. I'm ticked. I mean, I'm peeved. Lord, we pray. The sermon the week before that happened, Pastor Goodwin had preached a message stating that if you share the gospel with someone, you may lose your job. The next week she did. And not many weeks after that, while I'm sitting and sulking, I'm going to get back to my point in a minute. While I'm sitting and sulking, we had a man to come to the church, and I'm shamed. Because this, I mean, I'm weeks into my new ministry as a youth pastor. I'm shamed. And a few weeks later, Pastor Ricks invites a guy by the name of Ray Borah. Y'all remember Ray Borah? He was a missionary. Well, he was a student with us in school. Pastor Ricks and I and Ray Borah, we all attended Tabernacle Baptist College in Virginia Beach together. Well, Ray Borah came and he preached. And lo and behold, while we're going through our crisis and we're hoping and we are expecting from God and we are waiting to hear a word from the Lord, and then we're seating in the seat of shame, and I'm saying to myself, oh wow, what is he going to preach about? So Ray Borah begins to preach. Now Ray Borah was a retired Navy pilot. He was a retired Navy pilot, and he came and shared a testimony how he lost everything that he had. Him and his wife in his 60s at the time. And I'm sitting here, I just lost my car. And I wonder what folk thinking about me. And he preaching, but he just lost everything he had. I still got my clothes. And then he tells a testimony. There's a major shift. Because see, God sometimes does things that we don't see. Our expectation sometimes is different. People may have expectations for you, but they don't understand what God's expectation is for you. So he gives his testimony, and in the testimony he says, there was a church that heard that he was a retired Navy pilot. And he said that the church, after hearing that he lost all that he had, they bought him an airplane. He accepts the airplane. Now he has nothing. He doesn't have anything holding him back. He doesn't have a house. He doesn't have all the things that he used to have, and nothing is holding him back. And all of a sudden, he gets a phone call from Puerto Rico. And he's asked to become a missionary to Puerto Rico. Now, are y'all connecting the dots? Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Because he lost those things. Because his expectation was one thing, but God had a different expectation for him. God had to take away something so that he can add to him, to lead and to guide him according to his will. And I said to myself, Lord, have mercy. And I just strengthened myself in that testimony. I strengthened myself in that testimony. The first year of ministry, I'm like, I don't know about this. I'm ready to get out of this. Being spiritually attacked. I remember talking to a guy in the hospital. He was a deacon. He said, I've seen over 40 preachers come and go, son. He said, you just pray and keep serving and trusting the Lord. Things are going to change. I get a phone call during a period of time where I'm like, I don't know about this preaching stuff. Pastor Keith down in Elizabeth City, North Carolina. He gives me a call, says, Tony, I want you to come down here and preach for me. Lo and behold, I'll make a long story short. I begin to preach. But before then, the Lord revealed himself, because in my sermon, everything and every point I had in my sermon actually happened to me on the road there. There was a point in my message where I talked about making U-turns. And guess what? I missed my exit and I had to make a U-turn. There was a point in my sermon where I talked about hitting potholes and losing the control of the steering wheel. Well, I hit a pothole and I lost control of my steering wheel. There was a point in my sermon. Listen, saint, this is me talking about, I don't know about preaching anymore. I want to get out, maybe to get out of the ministry. And I get down there and I pull up next to the Elizabeth River. And there's a point in my sermon where I'm talking about resting and trusting in God as the disciples were on the boat with Jesus, and Jesus was asleep. And I'm on the pier. My wife is in the car with the kids, and I'm sitting here leaning over the pier, and lo and behold, there's a row of houses. And all of a sudden, a big, huge yacht just pulls out. That was my next point in my sermon. The boat and the storm and how the storm change when Jesus said, "Peace be still." Amen. While I was sitting there, I began, and another point in my sermon, I began to reflect on the 23rd Psalm, and I was talking about He leads me beside the still waters, and I'm looking over into the Elizabeth River, and the water, sometimes water, it looks like it's got diamonds dancing on it. And the Lord was just speaking to me in the spirit, and he says, "I want you to be like this water. It's peaceful. I want you to trust me, and all the sparkles that you see, that's me getting the glory out of your life." And I know he was speaking to me in my mind. He says, "I know if you look under the water, there are some things, there are some murky areas." He says, "But trust me. There are some things that you don't see underneath the water, but trust me." And lo and behold, I begin to think, and my next point of the sermon was, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." And lo and behold, I kid you not, while I'm looking over the river, a huge eagle swoops down right in front of me. If I didn't see it with my eyes, I would thought I was crazy. It came over, and the wings were so wide, they were so long, it looked like it spanned this whole river. And it just glided real slow. Maybe it was looking for a fish to pluck up, but it glided real slow. And then as it began to go up in the air, I grabbed my wife because I needed a witness for this. I told my wife, I said, "Hey, babe, look at this eagle. Look at this eagle." And so she sees it, and the kids see it, and the eagle begins to go up in the air, and it begins to just circle over my head, soaring in the air. And that was the point of my message. Because you got to understand that God is your help in the midst of change. Listen, saints, on the eagle's wings, there are little things called vortexes. Let me show you how God will lift you up above that situation, above that thing that's changing, either for His glory or for your story. Listen, there are little vortexes on the end of they're tornadoes. You say, how does an eagle soar? They soar on the tornadoes on the end of their feathers, and they manipulate the wind with their feathers to go this way or that way. They soar on what looks like nothing. We are sustained by God. We have a God. Listen, if God can hold an eagle in the air, if the eagle can depend on God, if the eagle can trust in the Lord, if the eagle has a rock solid foundation on God, how is it not that we are not able to trust in God? For what we see as a change we may like or may not like, we got to know that God, He is absolute in His stability. We can depend on Him. Back to the rock. I went back out, and as we were going through that hard time, I sat down on the side of a curb and I picked up a stone. I started playing with it, having a conversation in my head. The Lord said, "If this rock can talk, it would tell you who made it." The rock knows who formed it. We don't know who formed us. If the rock could talk, the Spirit of God was just speaking to me. If the rock could talk, it would tell you who formed it. He says, "Look at the rock. What are some of the attributes of the rock?" And I'm saying, I'm just studying the rock now. It's hard. He says, "Yes, it is a firm foundation. I want you to trust me, Tony. I am your firm foundation. I am your expectation. Not New Berean, not your wife, not anybody else. I am your expectation. I am your hope. I am your foundation." He said, "Look at the rock." I looked at the rock. He said, what is there about this rock? I can use it as a weapon of defense. It's pitch black after midnight, and I'm sitting on the curb. We lived down there in Meharon River Reach at the time. anything could have came out. A dog could have came, a wolf or whatever. You got coyotes out here, don't we? But I can use that rock as a weapon of defense. David did it. He took a rock and a sling and he crushed Goliath. What else about that rock, Tony, can you learn? Well, if it was big enough, I can hide behind it. Think about those cowboy movies. You see them, John Wayne movie, they go, pow, pow, then they get behind a rock. Choo, choo, and they get behind a rock. Listen, saints, when the world comes up against you, you have a rock that you can get behind. When the enemy begins to shoot its bullets at you, you have a rock that you can stand behind. Oh, but you can also stand on that rock. You can stand on that rock. And this is what David is saying. David is saying, he said, listen, he says, he only is my rock and my what? Salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, the rock of my strength and my refuge. You can actually get inside that rock, Tony. If you look at the refuge, if you looked at the rock as a refuge, you can hide in the rock. There are caves that you can get into and you can hide in the rock. God hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. Jesus is a rock that you can always hide in. You can always depend on him being there. He's a fortress that will protect you. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and are saved. The name of the Lord is a fortress, just his name. You just call his name. What's his name? Jesus. What's his name? Yeshua. Sometime, listen, sometime your flesh begins to act up and all you can do is say, Jesus. What you're doing is you say, wait a minute, I need something that I can stand on. I'm going to stand on a rock. I need something that I can get inside of, because guess what? People are attacking me and my flesh is acting up. I'm going to get inside of Jesus and I'm going to hide from myself. I'm going to hide from the enemy. Amen. And you think about that. He says, I want you to know that I am your refuge and that it's in God. He is our refuge. What are you hoping for? Ask yourself that question. What are you expecting from God that only God can do? You can put your confidence in him that he can and will do it according to his will. He has a wonderful track record and a testimony that can be trusted. His faithfulness is unto all generations. What are you hoping for? What are you looking for God to do? I think about how change has happened down throughout history. And I think about it in the verse of a song. It says, come together wherever you roam, and admit that the waters have grown, and accept it soon. And accept it soon. What am I accepting? That change is happening. That change has happened. That change will happen. Come gather wherever you roam and admit that the waters have grown, the waters have risen, and God is still calling out to those who need to be saved. The waters are rising, and he's sent individuals to proclaim his glory, to tell his story that you might be saved. Do you stand on the rooftop of your own life, rejecting the salvation of God? Every sermon, you say no. Every time you attend the service and the call is given for the invitation to come to accept Christ or to come and to join the church or to come and to use your gifts and talents, do you wave off the motorboat? Do you wave off the rowboat? Do you wave off the helicopter of salvation, the helicopter of purpose and meaning in your life? because you think you have faith. Faith in yourself, faith in the world, but not faith in God. What will you do? Will you be wise and accept the invitation to grow, to change? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man, any woman be in Christ, she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They are new and they are becoming new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 helps us to understand this change. If any man be in Christ, old has passed away. That means that you have changed. You are new. You are changed. You're not the same person that you used to be. But guess what? You're not yet who you're going to be. God is still changing you. I don't care if you've been saved 25, 45, 50 years. If you've been saved that long, hopefully you have changed. Things are moving towards change towards life, or they're moving towards change towards death. There's no in between. You're either moving towards death, you're either changing towards death, or you're changing towards life. Which way do you want to change? I would choose life. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What will you do with this life? Will you accept the Lord in your life? Will you accept his call to grow, to change? Will you accept the change that God is doing in your midst? Or will you fight against it and wave it off? Let us pray. Father, we come to you today. And we pray, Lord, for someone here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. They need a change in their life. They need your spirit to help them change because they can't do it by themselves. If you're here tonight, here today, and you realize that you need Jesus in your life to save you and to change you, and you don't want to wave him off, you want to pray to believe in him today, will you wave your hand? I want to pray for you. Just lift your hand in the air. Reach out your hand and say, Pastor, I want to become a child of God today. I want to make sure that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Is there one? All you have to do is believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and say, Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that you sent him to die on the cross for my sin or the bad things that I have done. And I reach up my hand to you, God, to ask you to save me and to forgive me and to make me a child of God today. I accept you as my Lord and as my God and as my Savior. In Jesus' name. Maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I know that God is working on me and that he's changing me, but I'm struggling with that change. I'm struggling to accept whatever change he's trying to make in my life. If that's who you are, just raise your hand and put it down. I just want to pray for you. Is there one? Is there one? Father, we give you praise, Lord, for who you are. We give you praise, Lord, for what you're doing. And Lord, will you help us to accept the changes that you are making in our life? Changes in our home, changes with our children, changes in our families, in our relationships with others, changes in the church. Will you help us, oh God? In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need a church home. That's one change that's happening. I've been looking for a church for a while.